This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Tired of not getting a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, this is Elisa's daughter, Issa. This week, we preview the Oscars. All right, let's start the show.
Okay, can you do it kind of natural, like you're not reading it?
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, this is Elisa's daughter, Issa. Today we are going to preview the Oscars. All right, let's start the show.
Yeah, I think that was the best one. Did you like that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, y'all, you're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Elise Hu. Hollywood's biggest night is coming up this Sunday, which means it's time for us to talk about the Academy Awards on this show. Y'all know this. Every year there's a call for the ceremony to be canceled or that it's out of date because the most recent telecast was the worst one. And actually, the 2021 Oscars show did draw the smallest audience to date. It was down 58% from its 2020 show, which aired before the pandemic hit. But hey, you know, 2021 was pretty rough. While we're probably always going to complain about the Oscars, that doesn't mean we still don't love talking about them and all the nominees this year. So to help me do that this time, I invited two of the very best people to come and join me. Aisha Harris, one of the hosts of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, and Bob Mondello, NPR's arts critic and movie reviewer. Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hey.
Bob loves talking about the Oscars.
I complain about them all the time. On the other hand, I've been complaining about them for more years than you guys have been alive. So.
Okay, well, before we get into talking about the nominees, let's start first with just kind of the larger conversation about the Oscars this year as a telecast, as a show. Mm-hmm. What are the conversations going on around this year's broadcast?
Well, one of them is that they're not going to give out all the awards on the telecast. They're going to have given 8 of them out by the time the telecast starts, which is...
But Bob, they usually do the science ones, right? Like the science and technical awards in a different show?
Yeah, but these are a little bigger awards. I mean, for instance, Best Production Design, which is the design of movies like... West Side Story and Tragedy of Macbeth. We're not talking about little pictures, and we're not talking about little arts, actually. And let me just list the ones that are not going to be shown on the telecast. And that's not fair. They are going to be shown, but they're going to be given earlier, and they're going to have the speeches and things truncated a little bit so that they can fit them into the time. They're worried about time on the show all the time, so they're going to give away Best Documentary Short, Best Film Editing, Best Makeup and Hairstyling, Best Original Score, Best Production Design, Short Animated, and Short Live Action, and Best Sound.
What does this say to you, Aisha? I mean, does it say something about who the producers of the telecast say this awards show is for or think this awards show is for? Like, who is the audience?
Yeah, I don't think they understand who the audience is right now because, you know, as Bob said, they are clearly worried about time, but this is a show that frequently runs 3.5 hours long and doesn't need to if they sort of left out a lot of the banter, the many montage. I love a montage, but they always have so many montages at the Oscars.
Yes.
And so on top of that, one of the big things that the other kind of big conversation that was happening was around the idea of a special award that they're going to present during the telecast instead of these other awards that Bob has already mentioned. They have a Twitter, like they're asking social media what their favorite movies are, like most popular movie. And this is clearly their attempt to get in a different audience, the kind of audience who I think doesn't care about the Oscars to begin with. And so they're not catering to the people who actually do care. And then,
so there's a crowdsourced award this year?
Yes. And the plan is to present it on live on the show and have a random person who voted on social media present the award. I'm just like, are you kidding
me? Are you serious? Wait, so who's the odds-on favorite for whatever the crowd favorite is.
there's a few in this category, including Spider-Man No Way Home, Tick, Tick, Boom, which actually did get a couple, a nomination for Oscars, and Cinderella, which stars Camila Cabello. And so, all, of course, you expect her stands to just kind of swarm this thing.
Do you want to go to that ball and meet a bunch of rich people who will change your life?
Yes, I was just crying and singing about it 2 minutes ago.
Oh, so Camila Cabello could win an Oscar
and
make history. Yeah. And make history because it would be the first sort of in this category.
Yes, an honorary Oscar, if we want to call it that. That seems generous.
It's an Oscar with an asterisk.
Yes.
I mean, I imagine because if you're a fan or you are kind of a fan army, you could kind of rig this.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that this is definitely playing into the stan culture that has overwhelmed film criticism and film consumption over the last few years. It's really baffling to think that this is where we've come. And it shows to me and a lot of other people that they don't understand who their audience is.
Another evergreen thread in recent years has been the Academy's lack of diversity. So I'm curious what has changed over the past few years, if anything, on this front.
Well, last year, you had an astonishing year for diversity. It was fantastic. The folks who have power in Hollywood were able to say, I want my picture delayed. West Side Story, for instance, was finished more than a year ago and could have opened in time for that year's Academy Awards and chose not to. They chose to wait. So the pictures that opened were mostly by people who had less power. And that included a lot of persons of color, of women directors and things like that. And so last year you had a different field. It was a fabulous field. It was breathtaking how wonderful the movies were last year. And I sit there in astonishment. I think you don't have that this year, partly because all those films that were holding are now out in the field. And so people like Spielberg, and Steven Spielberg has power in Hollywood. He can say, no, I want to hold this, right? Let's wait until this is going to, it'll make more money. Now, this year's awards have one instance of diversity that I guess wasn't expected particularly, and it is of a film that has a cast that is mostly deaf. Coda is an extraordinary
beautiful
picture,
film.
Yeah, really lovely, and it's also made by a streaming service. It's Apple TV Plus is the group that is releasing it. But what is remarkable about it is that the first male deaf actor to be nominated for an award is Troy Kotsur, and he has a very good shot at winning the Best Supporting Actor award, which will be history making. But in terms of racial and ethnic diversity, this is not as good a crowd as it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think every point Bob makes, totally agree with. One other sort of way we've seen things shift in recent years is the fact that, well, obviously we have bigger categories for the Best Picture. This has been the case for over a decade now. And I think that has sort of opened the field up for different movies like Drive My Car, which is, an international film. And 5-10 years ago, it probably wouldn't have been nominated in that category.
Remind us what Drive My Car is.
So Drive My Car is directed by Ryusuke Hamaguchi. And it's it's hard to describe, but it's a 3-hour-long movie that I think everyone must see about a young man who's dealing with grief. And he is a theater director, and it's about his relationship with both his wife as well as the driver. He has a driver who is taking him back and forth to his residency where he is directing a play. And
this is the film that Parasite director Bong Joon-ho loves.
Yeah.
You can't stop talking about this.
Yes. Yeah. It's a beautiful film, and despite its runtime, every moment of it is earned. And so to see a movie like this that is not a sort of big spectacle, it is not a Dune or any other sort of movie that you would expect. It's not even Parasite in the way.
Right.
Parasite, even though that was an international film, it still had a lot of thriller drama and that sort of thing. And this is not that. And that is another example of us seeing more diversity. Another film is also Flea, which is a movie, another international film that's beautiful. It's animated. It's also a documentary, and it's about a child refugee who leaves Afghanistan, winds up in Denmark, and there are so many layers to this story.
To go on, and thing to be,
But it's nominated not just in documentary and not just in animated, but also an international feature. And so, like, to see it be able to get nominated in those different categories, like, a few years ago, that probably wouldn't be the case. It probably would have been, you know, siloed to one of those and not all three of those. So there are some changes that have been happening. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the Academy has greatly increased its membership and done a lot more outreach in terms of bringing in different people, more women, more people of color into the branch.
Coming up, Aisha and Bob break down their favorite Oscars picks.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing, backpacking, and another outdoor thing that rhymes with backpacking. Visit your local REI Co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways you can opt outside.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election: guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
You've hit a couple of the films that struck you this year. Who are y'all rooting for to win Best Picture?
Ooh. I never like to answer this one, but let me say that there are some that I think are extraordinary. I would not be unhappy at all if Power of the Dog were to win, partly because Jane Campion is an extraordinary director and did just a gorgeous job with this movie, and it's peculiar and wonderful and really compelling.
It's just a man, Peter. Another man.
I would not be at all unhappy if Licorice Pizza won.
I think it's weird to hang out with Gary and his friends all the time. I think it's weird that I hang out with Gary and his 15-year-old friends all the time.
I would not be at all unhappy about Coda. I would not even be unhappy with West Side Story. So I'd be happy with any of them, but I think if I were choosing one that I kind of would like to see win this time, I think it's probably Power of the Dog.
Aisha?
Yeah, I would have to say there's a few in there that I really, really loved last year. A couple that I'm like, why are they here? but for me, I would be happy with Power of the Dog or Drive My Car. And I hope that just being Oscar nominated means more people will seek both of those movies out.
Let's get to memorable performers and which performers you want to see go home with Oscars this year.
Well, for me, I would love to see Olivia Colman get the award for The Lost Daughter. I think that that performance, it's such a difficult performance to pull off. The film is about a woman who's sort of wrestling with choices she made as a mother years ago when she's sort of confronted with these strangers who sort of remind her of things she did when she was younger and what she did with her children, how she treated them.
Look, I'm sorry about earlier as well. I was feeling a bit anxious.
Yeah. Well, you know, the son can do that. And, well, maybe your girls, being away from your girls, you know?
Yeah. Well, you'll see. Children are a crushing responsibility. Happy birthday.
And it is a such a unflinching portrait of motherhood in a way that I hadn't quite seen before, but is also very generous and not judgmental about her character. And what she has to do to sort of convey that and to not judge the character as a performer as well, I just would love to see her win it. And I know she's already won the award, or she's won Oscars before, but I would love to see it happen.
Oh, she's great in it. She is really extraordinary. And that's one of the cases where I think what you admire about the performance is that she does so much with so little in the way of emoting. I mean, the kinds of things that you think of as acting in a stage sense, she isn't doing. It's very contained. She's not letting anything out. And you just die for her. She's extraordinary. She's just extraordinary. You're absolutely right. That would be wonderful. The performance I would love to see get the award for Best Supporting Actor is Troy Kotsur in Coda. And he, you know, the actors are in that picture are mostly signing. And he is hilarious as he's doing that. There's a sequence where he has been surprised in bed with his wife by his daughter and her almost boyfriend.
What's that? Is that your mom?
The kids realize that, and he decides that that's okay? The right moment to have a discussion with his daughter and her boyfriend about protection.
Oh, my God. Miles, go.
Nice to meet you.
Just please go.
It is one of the funniest scenes I've seen in film all year. It is just great. He has one word in that entire movie that he speaks aloud. When he makes history winning that award, it will be well-deserved, and I hope everybody sees the film.
Aisha, what about the Best Actor category? Because it sounds like there's an odds-on favorite here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it seems pretty locked in that Will Smith is going to get the award for King Richard, which is a sort of biopic about the father of Venus and Serena Williams, Richard Williams. And, you know, I think if he does win it, it will be more of a cumulative award than it will be necessarily for this role. I didn't love him in it, but he is doing sort of the Oscar Beatty thing, mm-hmm. where he has an accent, he's moving differently, his physicality is very different.
You want to check on the kids? Let's check on the kids. We got future doctors and lawyers, plus a couple tennis stars in this house. Now, I understand you got to do your job, even if some crazy neighbor do call talking foolishness. And I don't even mind you saying we hard on these kids. You know why? Because we are.
But he has been nominated twice before this, for Ali in the 2001 movie, and also for Pursuit of Happiness. So I feel like this has a very it's time kind of moment. And on top of this, he's been kind of going off of this, like, you know, reintroduction tour, where he released a memoir last fall. You have The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air coming back, being rebooted as Bel-Air. And so he's reminding everyone of why we fell in love with him in the first place. And I think the iron is hot. This is where he is going to finally get that award. It's like perfect timing.
Okay, last question. How are y'all going to watch the Oscars? Like, what's your setup?
Well, you know, I've got a pretty sweet setup. I have my, I think it's a 55-inch TV,
yep,
plus like a Sonos speaker system. And then I've got my Lazy Boy love seat that has a recliner. It's great.
Oh, I want to come to your house.
Professional arts critic, you deserve it.
It's a red leather. It's not like, you know, one of those you think of from the 90s, like the furry.
Yeah.
No, it's a nice love seat.
I just sit on a sofa in our TV room, and it's you know, the nice thing is that I can sit down with a bourbon and enjoy the awards, which make them go down ever so much easier.
Yes.
All right. A big thank you to my guest Aisha Harris, one of the hosts of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, and NPR arts critic Bob Montello. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Great fun.
Will you both stick around and play Who Said That?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try and
He's so excited. All right, you're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. Uh-oh, wait, hold on, let's pause.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. This is...
Bob Mondello.
It is my
work
fault.
Work in audio.
I know, but there's no way for me to turn it off. It's like...
He has a landline.
I have a landline.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Get your quote at progressive.com and see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Elise Hugh, here with my two panelists. Why don't y'all introduce yourselves?
I'm Aisha Harris, a co-host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour.
And I'm Bob Mondello. I'm the movie critic for All Things Considered.
That's who they are, and now we're going to play a game called Who Said That?
Who said that?
All right, the rules are simple. I share a quote, and you guess who said it, or what it's about. So you don't actually have to name the speaker if you don't know the speaker, but if you know the event or the news, news headline that sparked
it, that's
fine. Okay. As usual.
I'm always terrible at this. Oh, my God.
You've gotten at least 1 point in the past.
Oh, I did sometime deep in the past. This is
All right. Okay. There are no buzzers. You just yell out the answer. I will give you hints along the way if necessary. And as far as a prize, nothing. You win nothing. No one ever wins anything except for bragging rights. Okay, y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, this is a fill in the blank. So once you know it, you can just fill in the blank. I will say blank. The first quote. 6 years ago, when I was ready to retire, the NBC Universal family asked me to continue the show. I'm so proud of my relationship with NBC Universal and all those who worked on blank.
Ellen?
Maury?
There it is! Maury!
Oh, yes! Oh. I need it. Yay!
He says, I'm so proud of my relationship with NBC Universal and all those who worked on blank, which was the Maury Povich show. But as I occasionally tell my guests on Maury, enough already!
Yes, he does. he does.
he's in his 80s. I can't believe he was still hosting this show.
Yeah, he announced this week that he's finally ending his show at the end of this season after 30 years on air.
Yeah.
I won't swear to this, but I think he was a local guy in Washington, D.C.,
He was in local news. I don't know which market he was in, but he was in local news before.
I think it was here. I remember seeing him a zillion years ago.
I used to watch Maury all the time when I was in middle school and high school. It was so ridiculous.
Was it always like who was the father, or were there other topics?
Yeah, there was that. There's also the out of control teens. Also, they would go to boot camp. Like it was ridiculous. But I'd say 3 out of 4 episodes every week were about who's the daddy.
Of course. Guess what? Let's just figure this out right now. We're gonna find out. Uh-huh. You're sure he's the father? When it comes to 4-month-old Danye, Andrew, you are not the father.
Goodbye, Maury.
Fare thee well.
All right. The second quote. You ready, Bob?
Terrified, yes.
All right. The second quote. This is a book that is taught at Georgetown Day School to students in pre-K through second grade. Oh. Do you agree with this book that's being taught with kids that babies are racist?
It's the booty book. Or wait, no. Am I mixing it up?
I don't.
Wait, I'm thinking of a different book.
I don't remember which book.
There's a teacher who was...
No, I know what you're talking about. The one, the one, yes. In Mississippi.
Yeah, okay, wait. So, racist.
It happened this week. It happened this week, and it stirred up some controversy.
This could be any book.
I can't...
Okay, it happened in Washington, D.C.
I was going to say, it sounds like something
that would be in... Is it the 1619
project? No, it's... Was this one of the questions that was asked to the Supreme Court Justice during the...
Ding, 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 ding!
Look at that.
You got it! That was Senator Ted Cruz, R. Texas, this week at Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's hearing, asking one of his many, many questions.
That I find... really quite remarkable. One portion of the book says babies are taught to be racist or anti-racist. There is no neutrality.
He was asking about
another
the book.
Portion of the book.
Anti-racist baby.
I have not even heard of this book. news to me.
It's been a relentless, I think for all of these nominees, it's a relentless 3 or 4 days of questioning. But some of the lines of questioning against Judge Jackson have just been like, wait, what? Are you suggesting that maybe she supports child pornography?
Yeah, Lindsey Graham. Like that. All of this questioning, the little that I've been paying attention to is just sickening, but unsurprising, to be honest.
But that was a point to Bob Mondello, right?
Yeah. So we're tied.
Oh my gosh. It was. Although I couldn't tell you who it was Ted Cruz who asked that question.
That was Ted Cruz, but you don't need to have the person. You can just have the news event. So we're tied. One for Aisha for Maury, one for Bob for Ted Cruz. Okay, this is the tiebreaker. Here's the final quote. How dare you sell a square fish, asking us to trust it? A half slice of cheese, Mickey D's on a budget. Arby's crispy fish is simply it. With lines around the corner, we might need a guest list. I cannot rap, but that was supposed to be a rap.
That was stunning. I was very impressed with that. That's some of the best rapping I've heard on NPR.
That's so humiliating.
Wait, was that the whole clue?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I saw something.
Well, it sounds like it has to have been an Arby's.
Well, I saw something about Pusha T, like in McDonald's. Is that it?
Ding, ding,
okay,
ding.
Okay. Yeah.
You got it.
Okay. I literally just saw this yesterday.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited you knew that. That was Pusha T diss rapping. He wrote a diss track against McDonald's on behalf of Arby's.
Right.
And so it's a diss track about the Filet-O-Fish.
I'm the reason the whole world love it. Now I gotta crush it. Filet your fishes, then you should be disgusted. How dare you sell a square fish asking us to trust it? A half slice of cheese, Mickey D's on the
because they didn't like pay him or something for something he.
Well, yes, there's kind of backstory. Wow, you know a lot of context about this story, Aisha.
I literally just saw a Twitter headline and it gave me all that information.
Okay. So Pusha T, along with his brother, wrote the I'm Lovin' It jingle for McDonald's.
Wait, really?
In 2003. Yes.
I had no idea.
But the two were only paid $1 million, which Pusha deems is too low for how ubiquitous a theme it became.
Fair.
Fun fact. So now he's pissed and has decided to write a diss track about the Filet-O-Fish. But why has he got to take it out on the Filet-O-Fish? Take it out on the quarter pounder. Like, why the Filet-O-Fish? That's a solid sandwich. I don't have a problem with the fact that it's square.
I'm delighted to say I haven't been in either of those establishments in well over 2 years.
I just go for the fries these days. I try to stay away from the meat at McDonald's. But,
but Aisha, with that knowledge, you won who said that.
Yay!
2-1. Congratulations.
And I continue my streak.
All right. Thanks for playing, Aisha Harris, co-host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour and NPR's longtime arts critic, Bob Mondello, a Who Said That perennial loser.
That was fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, I'm Elise's daughter, Ava. Now it's time to end the show like we always do. Every week, listeners share the best thing that happened to them all week. We encourage folks to brag, and they do. Let's hear them.
This is Zena in Seattle. This week, after many failed attempts, I did my first pivot turn on my roller skates. And since then, I have not been able to repeat that. But I'm sure that with a lot more practice, I am going to get it.
The best part of my week was meeting with my family, who I haven't seen in a long time, to have a very belated Thanksgiving / Christmas / missed birthdays. Specifically, I got to see my grandma, who I've missed a great deal. We write physical letters back and forth to each other weekly, but it was really great to see her and talk to her in person and give her a big old hug.
This is Greg from New Jersey. The best thing that happened to me this week is I got my first ever raise. I'd been with the company for just under a year, so it wasn't something I was expecting, but I was very happy about it.
It's Therese from St. Paul, Minnesota, and the best thing that happened to me all week was receiving a package of two vinyls, one of Sister Act and the other Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. It's been fun jamming while working from home.
This is Caitlin in Oakland, California. The best part of my week was getting together with four other friends from college. Just had the best time, just laughing and spending time together over the weekend. Thank you for all that you do. And these segments at the end of your show every week have really brightened my day every single time I listen. So thanks.
Bye.
Thanks to those listeners you heard there, Zena, Jessica, Greg, Therese, and Caitlin. Listeners, we want you to send in your best thing to us anytime during the week. Just record yourself and send a voice memo to our new email address, ibam@npr.org. That's ibam@npr.org. All right, this week's episode was produced by Janae West, Anjali Sastry-Kurbacek, Andrea Gutierrez, and Liam McBain. Our intern is Asia Drain. We have engineering support from Gilly Moon and Josh Newell. Our editor is Jordana Hochman. And our big boss is NPR's Senior VP of Programming, Anya Grundman. So until next time, take care, y'all. I'm Elise Hugh. We'll talk soon.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon.
This advertisement comes from our paid sponsor, Fundrise. High interest rates mean that real estate assets are available at a discount compared to previous valuations. The Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to expand its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. Add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio at fundrise.com/NPR. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the fund before investing. Read the prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship.
These days, news comes at you fast. But the truth? Getting there takes time.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Embedded is a podcast that takes the time to look beyond the headlines.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
With original documentary storytelling. Listen to NPR's Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.